You are listening to Curious Cat, a podcast that examines the shadowy space where science and the supernatural collide. And I'm your host, Jennifer Hotz. Join me every week as I examine what it means to be a soul in a meat suit. Welcome to Curious Cat. I am a tad early in kissing 2022 goodbye. Am I the first person you know to do it? The thing is, I love looking back. I'm almost addicted to it. It's clarifying. The last weeks of a year are that natural time to review and assess. It's easy to have a snapshot of exactly a year ago and compare it to right now. This time last year, I was in a very different state of mind. It was more a sense of bitterness, like I'd somehow been betrayed by 2021. It was supposed to be better than 2020, and yet it took my father from me and left me an empty nester. I was unhealthy inside and out, no doubt about it. It'd been a year of loss and grief on all fronts. Growing pains. I mean, that's the label I'd give 2021. 2022 was a mixed bag. Personal growth was part of that mix, but there wasn't as much pain. I've tried to discern why. Mostly, I think it's been because I've been less reactive, more proactive. I've been trying to stay centered, ditching the news. Really, like, you know, just keeping track of world events has really helped me to have some early success. And then there was meditation. That was an amazing, you know, barrier breaker too, to finding, you know, daily peace and getting back to the core of myself. And then I found morning minutes where I would sit in the morning, not very often, maybe twice or three times a week at the most before all the pets were swarming, to just kind of get in my thoughts about what I wanted to accomplish in a day. But even the few times I was able to accomplish that have been pretty magical. Those things have kept me connected to the glory of the collective. Like, I'm not on my own. I'm that thick trunked oak whose roots spread out below the dirt as far and wide as those branches stretch across the sky. Yeah, on occasion, I will definitely get sucked into a current events drama, and I'll find myself with my hands balled into fists and my cheeks blazing with red anger. But the thing is, I catch myself faster now. I cool off and I reconnect with the energy of that collective, and I soon fill with love. That's the basic snapshot. But this place, this podcast, it's given me a reason to dive headfirst into expanding my knowledge, stretching the bounds of what I believe, and I hope it's helped you to look at life, you know, the world, other people, spirituality, nature, magic, in a different way too. It was funny. I did something fun with a friend of mine yesterday, and she was saying that someone that's a mutual friend of ours doesn't really, she said about Curious Cat, that she just didn't really comprehend what I believed in. And, you know, I'm a work in progress, to be honest. If I had to stop and say what my beliefs are right now, it would be to be more bent into Shintoism and Buddhism than Christianity, but I'm kind of an amalgam. But I am a work in progress, and that's the whole point of this podcast, is to just constantly be revisiting and stretching what it means to be a human being, to have a soul. And there's so much out there that is still such a mystery to me. And so I'm just having fun kind of unlocking those mysteries and diving into them. anyway, I went through my notebooks and racked my brain. And after reading upwards of 40 plus nonfiction books to prepare those episodes this year, I had a lot to sort through. And this is the result. These are the top lessons I've learned in 2022. The first 6 or 7 episodes of Curious Cat are definitely raw seminars in grief. The death of my father, it forced me to look for him in other ways, other realms even. And that's how I ended up on this spiritual journey. It's a journey. And like a grief journey, that has no end. Both of them irrevocably change us. They teach us to see others as more than what we see with our eyes. We know that everyone is fighting a battle. Some are just better than others at hiding it. But the big lesson grief taught me, the worst aspect of grief is when others have moved on and you are sitting all alone in the loss, isolated because you're still stuck in the anger, the sadness, the bitterness, just the loneliness, the pain. I've learned grief takes a non-linear path. It's a time-traveling sneak, too. I mean, there are memories that grief corrupts. I've had to push back and rewrite them to be accurate. Grief does not care that you are busy or sick or broke. In fact, like a predator, it senses our weakness and circles in on us until we're forced to pay attention. Grief doesn't obey schedules either, like not astrological forecasts or birthdays or sickness. It's like a perpetual Mercury in retrograde. The only remedy to grief is to sit in it until, like a storm, it passes us by. For my part, since experiencing this grief, I've been real about my grief. I've tried to have absolutely zero filter about it so that others never feel alone on their worst days in their worst moments. I'm with you. I am literally the shoulder you can lean on. I understand losing someone is awful, and then moving on without them is terrible too. Another huge lesson I can take away from 2022 is to pray with gratitude, not desperation. So have you read Conversations with God, an uncommon dialogue by Neil Donald Walsh? My goodness, this book hurts my brain, but also I can't stop turning the pages. From the introduction, so this is right from the very beginning. It says, "This book wasn't written by me. It happened to me." So I'm slow walking through the chapters. Like I said, it really literally hurts my brain. The first few pages blew my mind, and my old ways of thinking just blew up with it. Thank goodness I've been reading it at the same time as my precious soul sister, Molly. 3 states apart, we text each other as we have these epiphanies. And yeah, I do overuse exclamation points in those exchanges. But wow, the opening pages of that book transformed my morning minutes and prayer life. Early in their conversation, God tells Walsh that many come into our thoughts posing as God, but they are not God. Asked by Walsh how to discern the difference, God responds, "Mine is always your highest thought, your clearest word, your grandest feeling. Anything less is from another source." Okay, this passage reminded me of panning for gold. I swear it relates. We were visiting Alaska and the kids were pretty young back then. We sluiced our pans through Crow Creek as mosquitoes feasted on my plumber's butt. We dug, sluiced, searched through the remnants, and after, I don't know, maybe a half hour or so, I picked out a couple of shimmery bits from my pan, thinking they've got to be gold. Then my eldest flashed their find, bright yellow, a whole nother level of shine and sparkle. This was definitely gold. I'd been so desperate to find some myself, I'd made a rookie mistake, thinking fool's gold was the real thing. And I knew better. I mean, I took geology at University of Washington. I washed my pan out in the creek and I tried again. The truth, like that gold, shines with unmistakable brightness. Not only that, but desperation cannot turn fool's gold into the real thing. So yeah, this lesson is a twofer. Wash goes on in the conversation to ask about prayers, answered prayers and those that aren't. And I sense his anger there, bitterness. But what God said in response blew my mind. Quote, "You will not have that which you ask, nor can you have anything you want. This is because your very request is a statement of lack, and your saying you want a thing only works to produce that precise experience, wanting, into your reality." God goes on, "The correct prayer is therefore never a prayer of supplication, but a prayer of gratitude. When you thank God in advance for that which you choose to experience in your reality, you in effect acknowledge that it is there, that in effect it's a done deal. Thankfulness is thus the most powerful statement to God, an affirmation that even before you ask, he's answered. Therefore, never supplicate, appreciate," God said. This passage of the conversation flipped my prayers. Now I pray with gratitude, as though what I seek is a done deal. Thank you, God, for healing my dog. Thank you for the health and safety of my loved ones. It's a special type of magic to move forward as though what you desire has already been given and received, or it's in the works. It's powerful. It's freeing. It's joyous. This prayer resonates differently than the ones made out of fear or desperation. It just feels better. So I encourage you to give this a try. The next lesson from 2022, will my dreams bring me what I need, not necessarily what I wanted? The case in point is my elephant dream. I know sharing a dream isn't the most exciting content. I understand that, so I'll make it brief. But in that dream, I rode in a small boat. I was floating on a narrow waterway beneath this stunning white domed building, like it was a mashup between Taj Mahal and It's a Small World. Ahead, straddling the waterway, stood this glorious gray and blue elephant. He had this elaborate cloth trimmed with gold on its back and head. So as I sailed beneath it, the elephant grazed my cheek with its trunk. "I love you, elephant. I love you," I professed. And it regarded me with its bright blue eyes as I passed. I didn't have time to jot down the whole thing when I first woke up. Instead, I wrote down keywords: elephant, boat, white palace, blue eyes, water, I love you. Later, when I had more time, I filled in the blanks. Then I thought about the dream. My impressions were love and awe for the elephant, joy, tenderness. I tried to decipher the dream's meaning. Was I being told that I'm some high and mighty incarnation of some hallowed spiritual leader? I mean, I'm laughing because just wait. Dreams give you what you need, not what you want. So in the back of my dream journal, there's this glossary of terms, objects and such that are common in dreams and their possible meanings. Elephant symbolizes the need to let go of the past. Water indicates spirituality, knowledge, healing, and refreshment. Boat means ability to cope with and express your emotions. Blue eyes mean this is a trustworthy vision and is spiritually significant. So with all that in mind, my dream clearly means that the elephant came to tell me it's time for me to let go of the past. I've healed, and looking backwards is actually impeding my spiritual journey. There's no need to spend any more time contemplating the past. Trust this to be true, move forward. I mean, wow, that's definitely not what I wanted, but it was exactly what I needed to know. While we sleep, at the very least, our bodies heal as our brain absorbs the goings-on of the past day. Our dreams can also be like that friend you can always rely on to be straight with you, give you the God's honest truth, even if it leaves your ego slightly bruised. My elephant dream said, stop, stop, stop. You have mourned your father enough. Move forward. That doesn't mean leaving his memory behind, just that actively grieving is no longer necessary. Instead, actively remember him as you move forward through life. This was what I needed to hear. But in the waking state, I would have closed my ears. The dream, even my completely wrong initial interpretation, was a safe way for my subconscious to teach this lesson to my conscious self, my ego. So not all dreams hold powerful lessons, though I did read recently that any dream you remember holds a deeper meaning. Most of them, those run-of-the-mill dreams, are a way to work through what you face in daily life. Even they can help us become accustomed to a change or work through a problem in a kind of non-confrontational, super safe way. So when you wake up, write down your dreams, look back on them, and see if you notice patterns, predictions, warnings, guidance, or any other information that was instructive in your waking life. At the very least, it's a fun exercise. A huge lesson, hopefully I'll use the rest of my life, is rooted in meditation. We have the power to go back and comfort our younger selves. We can give our past selves love, knowledge, support, even courage to live through that painful time or moment. Yeah, you heard it right. We are time travelers. Try it. That's the absolute best way to feel the truth in this. Ask your guardian angels, your spirit guides, your higher selves, God, to accompany you to a painful moment in your past. Picture yourself as you were in that moment. Mine was being really little, 5, crouched behind an orange chair in the corner of the living room. Next, picture your younger self surrounded by your guides as they surround you in love and light. Have them feed your younger self an image of something happy in the future, like a glimmer of what's to come, something hopeful. Next, thank your angels and guides. When you open your eyes and fully wake up from the meditation, think back on that past painful moment. How does it feel now? Do you notice any changes? And write those down. You can do this exercise as many times as you need to heal and support your past self. If we're time travelers, it got me thinking, can we give our future selves support as we face a big jump in our career, an interview, a meeting, anything might be worth a try. My next 2022 lesson is embrace your shadow self. This is such an important life lesson. I made it the subject of the very first episode of Curious Cat. Truth be told, I am still a work in progress in this area. I'm still kind of dragging all the parts of me into the light. But in 2022, I've embraced my voice, and that's a win. My voice used to dwell in my shadow. Author Bill Plotkin warns us not to dismiss the importance of our shadows. In his book, Wild Mind, he says, the shadow's not what we know about ourselves, don't like, and keep hidden. Rather, the shadow is what is true about us that we don't know at all, and if accused of, would adamantly and sincerely deny. What he's saying here is that our shadows represent our untapped potential. Let that sink in a second. I'll go further and say it's not healthy to hate half of yourself or duct tape its mouth and stuff it into the basement of your soul. Again, think of yin and yang. Now picture the yin and yang symbol without the black. It's unbalanced. The symbol would literally cease to mean anything. It'd collapse. Your own shadow. Reclaim the attributes you hate about yourself. And what would that feel like? To reclaim everything you hate about yourself and embrace it. Embracing your shadow is powerful. It's clarifying. It's energizing and it's emboldening. It is self-activism, bold action that claims all of ourselves all the dang time. When we stop spending energy stuffing down half of who we are, we reclaim lots of energy and we gain a full and complete perspective on everything. It's the secret sauce that's led me back to finding daily happiness and satisfaction. Related and in the same vein is that the more true to myself I am, the more I connect with others in a positive way. Way back when I was young and single, after a string of failed first and sometimes second dates, I was exhausted. I was worn out from trying to be what I thought other people wanted to date. And because I was exhausted, I just put myself out there. I was just me. And that is when I met my person. They loved my too loud laugh and cracked sense of humor and whatever else I had been locking down for everyone else that I put out there. I should have stitched that lesson on a decorative pillow because I'd forgotten it over the years. But now it's tattooed on my dang heart. The next lesson is for all you that are chronic warriors like me. I hope you'll benefit from this lesson. In most cases, like 99.9% of the time, my worry is actually an expression of love. I swear it's true. It's a truth that's helped me get a handle on my anxiety. Now, if I catch myself fretting over, say, my grown kids, their partners, I mean, you name it, I ask, what is the truth in this moment? The truth usually sounds something like this. I'm a woman that loves her kids deeply. Yeah, the very kernel of that worry is love. Next, I say, thank you, God, universe, angels, for keeping them safe, healthy, and happy. And that releases my worry. I know it seems like a small thing, but it has had a phenomenal impact on my anxiety. Other simple tips, those times when we wake up worried about something, ask, is there something I can do right now to alleviate my concerns? So if you're afraid you'll forget something, like your lunch or something important that you need for school or work, get up out of bed, set it by the front door, or write yourself a quick note and post it on your bathroom mirror. Then go back to bed. If you can't do anything about whatever's worrying you, let it go. It'll be fine to deal with tomorrow. This advice was given to me as a kid, and it helped me rest easy back then, and it has ever since. So thanks, Mom. The next lesson begins with a question. Have you ever been told that you're too much by someone? I have. It took me until this year to realize what they're really saying when they tell you that is they don't think they are enough to be in your life. Yep, it's their shadow speaking. It's not a you thing, it's a them thing. Don't bother trying to set the record straight either, save that energy. It is a them thing. Also works in most instances of like road rage, rude drivers, pushy people in public, you name it. I'm sure you, like me, blame yourself when someone acts up on the road or if you're in close quarters and there's a little bit of a misunderstanding. But instead, try seeing it as a them thing. And pretty quick, you'll find you're not pulled into the drama. If you have made a mistake, I mean, who hasn't? Like accidentally cut off somebody in traffic or whatever, just look in the rearview mirror, raise a hand and apologize, then let it go. The last lesson of 2022 for me is probably the most controversial. I'm also speaking from my experience only. It's something I've noticed and feel compelled to add to this list because it's had such a powerful impact on my life. Alcohol does not help my life or health. I've never been a big drinker, never. But during the lockdown, I looked forward to a glass of wine with dinner every night. It became a routine, something I was doing without even thinking about it. I'm not sure when it happened, but at some point I realized I was shedding all the stress of the day with that first sip, or that's what I thought I was doing. And that is not good. I'm not comfortable having any substance be a crutch for my mental health or well-being. And that's when I began to cut way back, like only having a glass of wine every now and then. This month, I've given it up entirely. And I've noticed a lot of changes with my body, with my mental health, and with my sleep habits. So when I don't drink alcohol, I sleep better. My guts work better. My body feels good, and I've had so much extra energy, and that's probably due to the added sleep. I exercise more regularly, and I have a lot more energy to work and do fun projects. I've also found I have fewer hot flashes, and my disposition is more cheery and optimistic, which is good for everybody around me. As we move through the holidays, I'm not certain I'll rule out alcohol entirely, but I am noting the benefits. Even in my face, my skin looks healthy and supple. So I'll keep these benefits in mind before I take that sip. So what lessons did 2022 teach you? If you're comfortable, share them with me on socials. Curious Cat is on TikTok now, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And I always love to hear from you. Thank you for listening to Curious Cat. Huge gratitude for my art director and audio engineer who've been working on a secret project for season 3 that I can't wait to tell you about. If you're in need of those services, find their links in the show notes. And please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, stay curious. I love you.